Well, it's great to have everybody back. It's always good. And we're in our sixth lesson, and next week we'll do number seven, and it'll be the last lesson. So tonight we're going to talk through our abilities and talents that God has given us and for His glory. And how does that really work in light of all of who we are? And that particular, those gifts, how do they work in light of our whole design, our shape? So let me pray for us and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for each person here. And we do ask that you would encourage us tonight, that you would just use this lesson to help us, to point us to you and to show us that you have given good gifts to your children. And you've given us abilities and talents and skills to use for your glory, and that we could glorify you, and pray that you would be with those that were unable to make it, and you'd watch over them and care for them, and our friend and his travels to Europe, that you would be with him there as well. And just pray that you would bless us tonight, and we commit this time to you in Christ's name. Amen. All right. So as we jump into our abilities and talents, and skills, you remember that this is in light of all of who we are, our God-given design. And so we've used that acrostic shape, and the first thing we did, we went 3 weeks on our spiritual gifts for several reasons. One, that's our theme for the year, and that was the main purpose of making sure that that we covered that and covered it well in this class. Because we all want to discover our spiritual gifts and develop our spiritual gifts and deploy them in the body of Christ. I do think that is one part of our design of who we are. And it goes in these other areas all work together to make up who we are. Well, next week we're going to look at our heart, our passions, our desires. We won't be able to do a deep dive because we're going to combine two in 1 week. Tonight we're going to talk to our talents and our abilities that God's given us. And then we talk 2 weeks on our personality. And then next week we'll cover our experiences. Those sovereign experiences that God has given us to help shape us. And some are positive, some are neutral, and some are challenging that we have experienced in our life. But God uses all of those to make us who we are. So we're going to talk about that next week, and hopefully you'll be able to be here, Lord willing, to put all this together. So that's our shape. That's our designer. All these things work together, and sometimes it's hard to distinguish between these because, you know, we look at our personality or our talents and abilities. We're going to look at today, and you go, well, is that a spiritual gift, or is that a talent, or is that a, you know, what is that? You know, is that just, and so it is a little harder to separate it, but I'm hopefully doing this over 7 weeks will help you do that. Well, let's dive on in. You can, for me and for what we're talking about tonight, you can flip talent and ability. It's just A works really good with shape. So, but it is a little broader in our mindset, our abilities. We think of our abilities, God-given abilities. We think of our talent, but also our skills, you know, and that's what I'm talking about when I say talent or ability. I'll flip them and just know I'm saying the same thing. So a talent is this. It's a special, natural ability, aptitude, skill, or proficiency that someone has been given by God. And I gave you pretty extensive notes on your note sheet, so you didn't have to write everything out, and you could go back and, you know, have this as a review. I'll go ahead and give another commercial. Over here, I've put each week's lesson out. If you want to grab one that you might have missed and you want an outline, you can do that. All right, so we're looking at our talents and our abilities tonight, and what are those. And each week, intentionally, we go to the Scripture and go, what does the Bible say about this? What are some biblical principles? What are some biblical examples? And then how can I determine this for myself and apply this to my life? And I'm follow that each week, and then we're going to do it again. And so some passages on this and some principles, or really passages and perspectives at first, and then we'll hit principles at the end. I'm going to go back to our 1 Peter 4:10-11 that we took a deep dive on in one of our lessons. I'm not going to do a deep dive, but I want to read it, and I want us to think about it in lieu of, or in light of, not in lieu of, in light of our talents, okay, or our abilities, because those are gifts from God. You know, all good things come from the Lord. So every talent, every ability, every aptitude, every skill that you have is from the Lord. And so that's important that we would think of it that way. Let's look at verse 10. It says, as each has received a gift, use it. Kind of just stop there, okay? That's pretty clear. As each received a gift, whether it's a spiritual gift, whether it's a talent, an ability, whatever that gift is from God, as each has received a gift, use it to do what? To serve one another. Why? As a good steward of God's varied or magnitude or overflowing or abundant, that varied word, grace. And then it goes on to say, and Pastor Reeder preached on this, so I won't go into that, but whoever speaks is one who speaks oracles of God, and whoever serves is one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that, in everything. Now, those are pretty key words. In order that, in everything, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And then to Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So, 1 Peter 4:10-11 is a key, one of those key passages. When we think through these principles in a minute, some of these principles we'll talk about in perspectives flow from these two verses. I haven't really done a deep dive on Ephesians 2:8-10 yet. I want to read it, and I want us to think of this in light of, again, our abilities and talents and skills, along with all that got our whole design, our whole shape. So let's read it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it's the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now in verse 10, we are His workmanship. That word workmanship, poema, is, you know, a work of art, masterpiece. You know, we get our word poem. You know, it's a creative, a work of art, a masterpiece that the master craftsman made. That's you. You are God's masterpiece that He has designed before time began. He's made and He's continuing to make. And guess what? When is He going to be through with it? Well, that's an interesting question. When we're in heaven, then we'll be made like Christ and we'll be complete there. But we're going to continue to learn more and more and more for all eternity about God. We're going to continue to grow and be enriched in the Lord because He's unfathomable. He's unable to be known completely. But, so we are being made in Christ and we are His workmanship. And we're created in Jesus Christ for what? Good works. To do good deeds. To do those things that glorify God. Okay? We're here to reflect God's glory. We're here to do good works. When we do things that we're designed to do, when we serve and we use our spiritual gifts, when we use our talents, when we're working together with the body of Christ, and when we're doing those things, that's good works. You know, when we're using that talent for the Lord, that's a glorifying thing to Him. When we're working in the community, or maybe you're using your talent or using your gifts, out in the neighborhood or out at a vocation, or you're glorifying the Lord. You're doing the kingdom work because you're glorifying Him. So we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. There it is again. God prepared beforehand. He prepared you beforehand. Beforehand what? When? Before when? Well, before. Okay, I mean, in all eternity, God decided and divided, and He determined and He prepared beforehand you, and He prepared the good work. He prepared you for the good work that we would walk in it, that we would walk in, that we would be faithful, that we would walk in what He's called us to do, how He's called us to do it, in using our gifts, talents, abilities, using all that God's given us. He's called us to do that, and we are to walk in it. So, a few perspectives, and I didn't type this in on here, but I'll just hit these perspectives. And some I'll hit a second time in a little different way. But we have to evaluate and view our God-given abilities in light of our shape. And I already really mentioned that, but we need to understand and start determining and seeing our God-given abilities and talents in light of our shape. In the same way that God has given each Christian a spiritual gift and a unique personality, He's given each of us special abilities and talents to use for His glory. So God's given us, He's given you a talent, an ability. He's given you skills that are unique to you to do just what He called you to do. And in the way and in the body of Christ, for the work of Christ, for the glory of Christ, He's given you some special ability or talent, skills to do that. And God intentionally designed you and has given you certain abilities and talents to be used for His kingdom and His glory. And God has given each of us special abilities and talents at birth to be developed and to be used. These skills, talents, and abilities, the aptitude or the skill itself or the, you know, skills and talents and abilities are interesting. You know, you may have a little baby or a little child and you hear them loving music and start singing at a, you know, young age. When they start talking, they're singing, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, that grows and they start singing better and singing on tune and singing. It just, you know, it grows and develops and matures as they do and vice versa. You know, a lot of things, but we've given that at birth. God already has planted those gifts, talents, and abilities in our life and the aptitude for them. So some show up a little better later and when they get exposed to those things. Well, just in Ephesians 2:10, our abilities, talents, and skills are to be used for the glory of God, are to be used for to do the good work that God has prepared us to do. I was thinking through this. I don't see my notes on this, but that's okay. Have you ever just, and it may have happened Sunday, it may have happened today, but a song you're listening, you know, maybe to your iPhone, to your playlist, or you're listening to, you come on Sunday and the choir starts playing something and all of a sudden it just does something inside you, in your soul. Like, it just moves you. You know, has that ever happened to you? It happens to me. You know, and then all of a sudden, yeah, all the time, and then somebody starts singing, you're like, oh my goodness, it's just like they're using their gifts and talents and God's using it to encourage our soul. You know, and, you know, maybe I have well up with like just my emotions flow from the soul that just got touched from somebody using their gifts and talents and ability, you know, and, you know, or maybe, you have, gone and you've driven by or you've seen a certain building and you just, it almost stops you in your tracks. You're looking at this building and just the architecture, the way it's made, and you look and you go, how in the world did they do this? I mean, I don't, and it just amazes you, you know, or you go into a place and the landscaping is, and, you know, maybe it's a garden or the botanical gardens or it's wherever, and you go and all of a sudden the person who did it, the colors and the shapes and the way it's done, you just stop and you just turn around and just look and just the beauty just does something to you because somebody there, the great creator gave somebody in his great creation that creative ability to do that and to plant those that way and to put those there where it just moves us. Or maybe you've opened up a book and you started reading it and you just couldn't put it down. And it gets late and you just can't put it down because the writer is so gifted and it captures you. And you're just going and you're like, oh, I know I got to go to sleep, but I just maybe one more chapter. And then you finally just put it down, but you can't wait till the next day. You know, and you finish the whole book in 3 days where, you know, because it just like this writer was so gifted, it captures you. I could go on and on now. You know, as we think through these things, those are people using their gifts, talents, and abilities. And those are people that God, you know, uses. And some of those maybe you haven't and maybe you don't. All the ones I named, I don't have. but they move me. They have, but God has given us those abilities and talents. And that, they've done a good work, you know, and they continue to do that. And we're to do that to encourage others, to inspire others, to build up others. We're to do that. So it's important that for you to know your abilities and talents. It's real important for you to discover those and know what they are and to deploy those as what, to develop them and grow your talents and to get better at those things and then to deploy those, to use those in the kingdom as well as our spiritual gifts. You know, and so far I've told you stories about, two of my kids, well, this is the third one. This is Ben. When my son Ben was about 9 years old, he told his mom that he wanted this big Lego set for Christmas, for his birthday. And so she tells me, and I look it up, and I'm like, that's all he'll get. I mean, that's expensive. And my kids know there's a budget. We have four kids and I'm in ministry. So anyway, and then I was with campus outreach staff, okay, back then. And, it was like, all right, you know, I said, baby, did you tell him that that's all he'll get? Like, before we just go buy it? Because if I go buy that, that's it. You know, and she said, yeah. I said, all right, I'll make sure he knows it. So I tell him and he goes, that's what I want, Dad. That's what I want. Okay, I'm thinking a Lego set for your birthday, you know, but that's not me, you know. So we buy him this Lego set and he gets it. He's so excited and he's so thrilled and he, you know, after the little party and we give him it, he goes and starts putting it together and just each day just puts it all together and just a few days later. Now this is a big Lego set. I tell Belinda, it felt like it was huge. Now, you know, maybe it was, you know, that big by that big. And I don't remember what it is. I kept thinking today. Huh? Okay. Life on Mars. Yeah. But it's this big, huge Lego set that's so many detailed little things, big things, you know, and you have to, and I was like, you know, I've never finished it. You know, I wouldn't. But he loved it, and he put it all together. And then one day, you know, just a few days later, I'm home, and he goes, Dad, come here. I want to show you. I finished it. And I was like, okay. And I went back, and he showed me every little thing, how little doors open, and this little thing here, and this thing here. And he was so thrilled and excited, just, you know, joy exuding from him that he had done it, and he had finished it. And I was like, wow, you know, that's great, you know. And I was fascinated that he did it, you know, and he did it by himself. And, then, fast forward to when he's in college and he went, to college and started out and he has several different gifts, talents, and skills. And it's hard with, you know, it was hard with him to help him guide him which one to go in. So he started in pre-med, but he just didn't like it, you know, and he just wasn't happy, wasn't doing that good, studied all the time, just didn't like it. So he came home after his freshman year at Christmas and just said, you know, I just don't know if this is what I want to do. I said, look, son, if that's not what you want to do, that's fine. You know, let's just pray that God will show you, but let's pray he shows you quick because that money is going out the window, you know. And so, And so he's like, okay, yeah. And I said, what kind of things you're interested in? He told me some things. And during that Christmas break, he's going to clean out his car, go on a date with his going to be wife in about 4 years from there. And so he's cleaning out his car, and his mom, you know, Belinda goes, you know, hey, I'll come help you. And so she goes out there to just spend time with her son. Doesn't matter what he's doing, helping him clean out the car. And so she told me this story. She goes, I was helping him clean out his car, and then he had this big stack of paper. And I was like, Ben, what's this? And he goes, oh, you know, since I was 16, I've been, you know, I would drive by and I'd see they're building a new subdivision. I'd ride through it. And if they were selling a house, I'd pick that piece of paper out and I'd look at the house. I'd look at the drawing and I'd see how are they making that. And said, so then I'd, you know, and there was a stack. How big? Okay. All right. So that big, you know, this big stack that he had collected and kept. And one of the things he said he was interested in was building science. I looked at her and said, do you think building science might be a good area? She goes, I think it might be. So, you know, he didn't know. And I said, well, do you really want to, you know, and he's like, yeah, I want to go get more information on that. And so he went and he ended up majoring in building science and did fantastic. He loved it. And he's been working in that area, got a job, praise the Lord, out of college. And he's doing that now. He's a project manager and he just loves it and he's good at it. But God gave him that skill, that talent, when he was just little, and it developed and grew, of how to see how all these parts make this whole, you know, how it all comes together, and the ability to see even those little pieces and everything and how to plan it and what goes first, second. He's just good at it. That's a talent that he had, that he was super at and still very, very good at it. So that's what we're talking about, is what are these talents and skills? Well, let's look at a few more passages, and I'm going to just overview and say just a few words about these. They're on your sheet if you want to circle it to go deeper. But Romans 12:6 says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Several key words. I only picked this one half of a verse because of, you know, you can go read it in all the context. I think we did that once before. I know Pastor Reader's read it a few times. But we have gifts that differ, spiritual gifts. We're all different. We all have a different set of gifts. We all have different talents and abilities. We differ, and they're gifts given to us by God according to the grace that He has given those to us, His, you know, unmerited favor. He didn't do those based on how good we are or not how good we are. He did it based on who He is. And His good, on who He is, and out of His good love for us and grace for us, and then says, let's make sure we use them, and we use them for His glory. Next is 1 Corinthians 4:2, just says, moreover, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. That's what God's looking for us to do, is to be faithful using our abilities and talents and skills and our gifts. A couple other verses, and this is one that we say a lot around our church. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So we're to do all to God's glory, as we saw in 1 Peter, bless you. And then 1 Corinthians 12, and we did a deep dive on this. But let me read this, and you think of it in light of abilities and talents and skills, our God-given abilities. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are a variety of service or ministries, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities or effects, but the same God who empowers them all in everyone. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as He wills. This is in particular talking about spiritual gifts. But then when we see this, all of who we are and comes together in that when God gives us that variety of service or ministries or how to use those to serve each other and to serve Him. And then what are the activities that He's called us to do? What is that good work He's called us to do? It's a variety. You know, we each are doing a variety, a different part, but He's given us those and He empowers us. He gives us the strength and power to do those for Him and His glory. All right. James 1:17, Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So, again, reiterating all these verses, they're good gift. Anything good that we have within, that anything we would consider or somebody else they have that's good, it's from the Lord. Every perfect gift is from Him, and He shows no partiality. All right, just a few examples. There's many in the Old Testament, many in the New Testament. I started thinking through, going, hey, I can mention that. Well, that's a fun study, but I won't be able to tell you but just a few. First, you think about it, you know, the twins, right? Esau and Jacob, and they were just alike. No, they were very, very different. You know, they were very different. This one verse tells you how different they are. You know, you can read the whole context there in those passages in Genesis around this chapter 25 and following and before it. But when the boys grew up, Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, while Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in the tent. So, you know, Esau, he loved to hunt, skilled hunter. That was his, you know, ability and talent God had given him. He was good in the field. He could grow probably anything. You know, he was a good farmer, he was skilled. And Jacob, his temperament, he was a quiet man, but he dwelled in tents, meaning we know he could cook. He could cook a mean stew, couldn't he? You know, evidently Esau knew it and loved it, and everybody did. But he had other skills. You can read about Jacob and his relational connecting skills or his ability to think of strategy and so forth and so on. But they were different, even as twins, different abilities and talents. I love this particular one too, because it really points out the talents and skills that God gives us. And this was at the construction of the tabernacle, when God's given Moses all the detail down to, you know, the color thread and every little detail of the tabernacle. It's cool, you know, and so he's giving him all these instructions, and then he comes to him and says this, the Lord said to Moses, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, and cutting stones for setting, and carving wood, to work in every craft. And behold, I appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, the tribe of Dan, and I have given to all able men ability, that they may make all that I have commanded you. It's just, you know, God had this plan for his tabernacle. Now, again, God in his ultimate design, before time began, he set aside Bezalel. He set aside Aholiab. He set aside these other people, that these other men with skills and talents and abilities, that they could do this wonderful work that God had set forth to do for the tabernacle. Well, what's God building now? His kingdom? His church? Jesus said, hey, I will build my church, you know, and hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. My church is on the march, the Big C Church. And Jesus is equipped each one of his people with gifts and talents and abilities to build the church, to us to move forward the kingdom of God. And that's you. And that's me. God's given us those abilities and skills. So that verse, that last verse, and I have given to all able people, all able men, that they may make all that I have commanded you. And as God has commanded us to go forth and to take the gospel to the whole world, he's given us the skills and talents and abilities and gifts to do that. All right, let's look at a few other. Ezra, you know, Ezra was a skilled scribe. He understood the Bible. He understood the Old Testament. He understood the Pentateuch, you know, extremely well, and could teach it very well. Daniel, you know, we know Daniel was very skilled, along with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You know, they were skillful in all wisdom, endowed with knowledge, had understanding and learning and competent to stand before the palace and to teach literature and language. So they had all these gifts and talents and skills that God had given them to do what God had called them to do. King David, you know, we could go on and on and on. I just highlighted a few. He was a great musician. You know, Saul would call on him just to play because it calmed him down. He wrote, you know, he was a songwriter. Many of the Psalms are written by David as praise up unto the Lord. He was a strategist. He was a leader. He inspired people. You know, David had many skills and talents that God had given him. Well, let's jump in into one other passage, and this is fairly long, but it's very significant in the issue of talents. I won't be able to go in and teach everything about it, but the good news is Pastor Reeder is going to teach on this soon, and so you'll get that. But I want to read it, and I want to highlight from the passages we read and from this passage in particular, 10 principles about our gifts, talents, and abilities. Again, some will repeat what we said, but some will not. So let's look at these. This passage. Well, before we do this, let me say this. At the time when this was written and at the time, you know, of Christ in the Roman world or in the area they were in, you know, a talent at this time, was shipped at one time talent was mostly just to do with a weight, you know, what the equivalent of about 75 pounds. At this time, the word talent was both weight and money. So they used it for both. And then it morphed. But anyway, so at this point, money was a talent was equal to 20 years of wages. About $1 million, give or take whatever. You know, so each talent was around $1 million when you read this and think of it. When John Calvin was preaching through this passage, he used this word to say, you know, our talents are what we think of talents today. And, you know, our talents are, you know, far more than just money, far more than just, you know, weight. It's everything God's gave us. It's our gifts. It's what He's given us, our abilities, and He expanded on it. And just taught that, and then it became more now what we think of when I say, what's your talent? You may go, well, I paint. I love to draw and paint, or I love to sing and music, you know, or I love whatever your, another artist, you know, whatever your talent is. And, so that shifted was really during the Reformation. It was shifting already, and in his sermon, in a sermon on Matthew 25, did that. So we're going to continue that as we teach through this. All right, verse 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey. Okay, so the it is the kingdom of God. These are the kingdom, some kingdom parables right here. So it, the kingdom of God, will be like, that's what the it is. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one, he gave 5 talents. To another, 2. To another, 1. To each according to his ability. Very interesting. God does the same. And that's what he's saying. This is what the kingdom's like. Then he went away. And he who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. So also, he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. And he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long while, the master of those servants came and he settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents and here, I have made 5 talents more. And his master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter in the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents and here I have made 2 talents more. his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master." Well, he also, who had received the one talent, came forward saying, "Well, master, I knew that you to be a hard man, and reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went, and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master answered, "You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest." So, speaking to others over here, "So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given, and he who he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast this worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Well, there's a lot here, and Pastor Reed is going to help unpack it. So I'm going to give you 10 principles about abilities, talents, and skills from this. And the first one's pretty clear and jumps out to us. There's only one master, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ, who owns all things. There's only one master. Secondly, we are the servants of God, and we live to do His will in our lives. So we're those servants that God entrusts His talents, His abilities, His gifts. And He entrusts those to you and to me to use for His glory. We're His servants. And we live to do His will in our lives. And God entrusts His property to His servants and entrusts them to be good stewards. So God entrusts you and me to be good stewards of what He's given us, whatever it is. You know, some, again, here He gave 5 and 2 and 1, and, you know, He gives different, according to the grace, He decides what He's going to give and when and how much. God entrusts possessions, talents, and abilities to each of His people according to His design and His good purpose. So it's, you remember all those passages that say that He gives according to what He decided to give. And in 1 Corinthians and Romans, you know, that God will do, that God gives those according to His good purpose, His will. We must embrace the ability and talents that He's given us with thankfulness and joy. We can't fall in the trap of comparison again, as I've said about, you know, our spiritual gifts. We can't fall into wishing we had that and not ours. No, we need to embrace our abilities and talents and use those and give the and with thankfulness and joy. We, the servants of Christ, are to use and invest our talents for the glory of God. What we do now on earth matters. And I was reading this article a while back, and it jumped out to me because it mentioned just what I was saying about Calvin's sermon. And this is an article written by a guy named Hugh Welchel, and he's the executive director of the Institute for Faith and Work and Economics. So, and he wrote this article, and he's quoting another person at this particular place, Paul Mitchell, in his book, A Kind of Life Imposed on Man. But he says this, Calvin made it clear that the use of our talents is not restricted to the church or to its pious duties, that's little c. It encompasses the whole of creation. Marshall reports that Calvin challenged believers to work, to perform, to develop, to progress, to change, to choose, to be active, and to overcome until the day of their death or the return of the Lord. And so what Calvin's saying here, or what he's quoting Calvin saying, is we're to really work at using, you know, our gifts, talents, and abilities. we're to really make sure that we use them until Christ return, or until we, you know, part this world and go be with him. And, you know, again, he says to work, to perform, to develop, to progress, to change, to choose, to be active and to overcome, you know, and to make sure that we use our gifts, talents, abilities for Christ. And then the next principle, God desires and requires for us to be faithful to use the abilities and talents and possessions that he has given us, to us for his glory. You know, just like it was required, you know, there will be a day where we do. Now, we won't be, because of what Jesus has done for us, we won't stand before him to be judged whether to go to heaven or hell. Jesus secured that. But we will be held accountable whether we used our gifts and talents and abilities, our spiritual gifts, whether we were faithful or not. We will give an account of that when the Lord comes back, or when we are with him at the judgment. There will be that time of reckoning. And that's what this passage is even saying for us. And there is joy in our faithful service for the Lord, using our abilities and talents for him. God gives that joy when we use it. We must serve Christ with our ability and talents with assurance and confidence that our master will return and we will give an account to what he has entrusted us. That's what I just said. And then we long to hear those wonderful words. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. That's what we want to hear. And that's what we definitely want to hear from Christ when he returns, or when we stand before him. Well, just a few application steps that I have for you. Recognize and embrace that God has given each of us special abilities, talents, and skills. I probably said that 5 times, but we got to make sure we recognize and embrace it. And then second, let's pray and ask God to reveal what yours are, your abilities, talents, and skills, and that he's given you. Use the abilities, talents, and skill worksheet to help you discover and develop and plan how to use your gifts, talents, and abilities and skills, and then be active in doing it. Well, what I did is, I didn't give this ahead of time, but on the back of your sheet, what I'd like to do is take just a few minutes. I gave you 48 options of some talent, skills, and abilities. All right, and there could be countless more, but I gave you 48 options. So if you can't find yours on there and you know what it is, tell me, and I'll put it on there, and I'll add 50 or 49, 50 or 51. It kind of needs to be in threes. It looks better. Just kidding. But you can write out. But what I want you to do right now, I'm going to pray again, and then I want you to take just a minute and look through these and mark which ones you believe are your talents, your abilities or skills that God gave you. When you mark it, you're not bragging. What you're marking is you're giving God the glory and saying, this is God. This is glory to God. He gave me this to offer up to him, to use for him as a good steward. So when you're marking it, you're doing that. Just like our spiritual gifts, when we share what those are, we're not bragging. We're giving God glory for what he's done. And we're exalting Christ. We need to know it. We need to use them. And we need to share. And we need to make sure we encourage each other in those. So you're going to do that. And then you're just going to take whatever you marked up there and write down what you really think your top, you know, 1, 2, 3. You could do 5 if you got 5 that you want to do. But let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. I do pray that you would help each person as they mark these to be encouraged at what you gave them for your great glory, and help give us a heavenly smile inside that we would get to use our gifts and our talents for your glory. And I pray you'll bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to mark those and write it down, and then I'm going to say, okay, let's start our discussion time. So this is kind of like one on you by yourself, or I guess you got a spouse here and you want them to tell you you could do that. Which one are mine? Yeah, my wife would not say mine is dancing.